Vandeham Shri Guru Sriyata Paragamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Aman Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramaritamina Tasmai Sri Guravena. Why come up here? No, come on. It's not fair. Yeah. She's in Gopi Bhav. She says, I don't care. It's the gopis. They don't care about anything but Krishna's flute. Om and Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshulamitamyamitasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Barsha Banavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodhaya Sachidananda Namane Gora Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitana bhavanevyo vaishnavyo namo namaha Jaya 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 Harinam Chirananda dham Paratapa Aksharakar Nija Jani Kripa Kari Nama Rupa Avatari Jiva Daya Kari Layapar Nichai Gosai Kori Chananam Vandan Yamavaite Vignanash Avishta Puran Shri Rupshi Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunath Sagoswami Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Bhajan Rahasyam Ki Jai Shri Labhakti Vinotao Kaur Ki Jai Kartiki Devi Srimati Radha Rani Ki Jai Shri Kartik Niyam Seva Mas Ki Jai. We're discussing the third verse of the Shikshastakam Chinarapi Sunichena Turaiva Sahishana Amanina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And we are, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that this verse indicates nishta. It indicates the qualities of one at the level of nishta. It indicates the behavior of one at nishta. And this particular level of devotional advancement is contained in the third word of the third pair of names, Krishna, Krishna. This represents nishta. And we're reading some notes about reviewing what is nishta, definition of nishta. When one attains nishta, I think this is we haven't said this. When one attains nishta, the mind is steady in remembering Krishna, and bhajan is regulated, and one displays the four qualities described in this verse by Sriman Mahaprabhu. Then one becomes a Madhyamadikari. At this point, one can actually be called a Vaishnava. Before this stage, one is not really a devotee. The term is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prakriti Bhakta. Prakriti Bhakta, that are devotion or our behavior or actions or our mentality is mixed with material energy, prakriti. It's called prakriti bhakta, and also the term is used, means a materialistic devotee, also Vaishnav Praya. Praya means almost. Vaishnav Praya, almost a Vaishnava. As we mentioned earlier, that discussion, Prabhupada, when someone, one disciple was saying, Prabhupada, this one devotee said this or that, and Prabhupada said, it's not so easy to be a Vaishnava or devotee. We're trying to become devotees, Vaishnava. Because to be really a Vaishnava means one has to have the lakshana, the characteristics and attributes of a Vaishnava. And these are four most primary qualities that a Vaishnava must have and display. As bhakti matures, one will realize his relationship with Krishna, and then he will come to respect all Vaishnavas and possess this real bhav. It's actually a bhav. It's called dainya bhav. That's why it's often mentioned in some of our descriptions here, that it's the position of the heart. That when the heart changes, then, because bhava implies mood, mellow, feelings, love. So dainya bhava is a mellow, it's a mood at the heart of extreme humility, which is born of realization of Krishna. When one realizes Krishna, then naturally one becomes very humble. And in part of his realization of Krishna at the madhyam stage of devotion, is that one realizes Krishna in the hearts of others. And so therefore, or in a higher stage of nishtha, we are hearing that one sees his beloved Lord in the hearts of others. Before reaching the stage of nishtha, one has to pass over six stages. One has to pass over six stages of bhajana kriya. Actually, if you think about it, it's more like 11. Because if you add, because six stages are external and five are internal. But we'll review the six, then we'll review the 11. So these 11 stages, or these 11 obstacles that we face, are what constitutes a type of devotion called anishtita. Anishtita means without nishta. So this is described very nicely, this is a review of Madhurya Kadambini, which is, we're all aspiring for Madhurya Mayi Bhakti, that devotion which is full of sweetness and intimacy with the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And we want to bathe ourselves in the cloudburst and the downpour of the sweet love of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, their Prem Seva. But although the title of the book is Madhurya Kadambini, there's a lot of very sour subjects. Madhurya means sweet and honey-like. And of course, when one comes to the level of bhava and prem, then everything becomes very sweet and honey-like as one interacts with the Lord through his various emotions and senses, spiritual sense perception of the Lord's form and sound and taste and touch. But for the rest of us that aren't on the level of bhava and prema, then we have to struggle with anarta nivritti and go through nishtha and ruchi and sakti. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the beginning of the book, he explains anishtita bhakti, then nishtita, that which possesses nishtha, nishtita bhakti. So nishtha stage, one has to pass over six stages during the stage of bhajana kriya. As long as one is still victimized by these six, obstacles, or his bhajan will remain anishtita, unsteady. So these are six stages of unsteady or anishtita bhakti, which one faces while practicing yoga abhyas, or what we call bhajana kriya, the stage of regulated devotion. We're trying to become steady, and we have to face these obstacles. Actually, one acharya explained that these are like six external, and then there's five internal obstacles. So you could, here we are again with big numbers. We heard about 16 anarthas. That was enough to keep us busy for a while. These Tattva Brahm and what was some of the other ones? Tattva Brahm, there's four, and then there's four types of aparad, and there's four weaknesses of the heart. But there's categories of four weaknesses of the heart, and four types of asa Krishna. No, it's four types of, yeah, right, the taste for this world, that world. So that came up to 16, an anartha level. Now it gets even finer, because it starts dissecting our attitudes and our mentality. So we come up with another combination of 11 in Madhurya Kadambini. And these six stages, these are prevalent at the level of bhajana kriya. And so in other words, this verse, Trinadapi Sunichina, we want to come to this stage of Nishta and embody these four qualities of humility, tolerance, pridelessness, freedom from pride, and respect for others, and become very steady and firm in our faith in Krishna and our practices of bhakti. But if we are facing these problems, then that will keep us from being steady. The first, I made a key, not very much of a key, but I was trying to think. I just put these things together, and it comes out UGVVNT. You know, so, and it's kind of good with UGVENT. If you read these letters UGVVNT, it's UGVENT. So when these things, UG for ugly things are venting forth in your life, then it's difficult to be a nishta. So the first of the UGVENT, the first U stands for Utsahamayi. Right? Because it all, 11 things are hard to keep in order, so if you have some kind of something that your mind can kind of associate with, or a key, or like this, so this is UGVENT. So the first one is Utsahamayi, which is required. We should be enthusiastic throughout our life of devotion, from beginning through the middle and through the end. But Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Utsahamayi means we're full of. Mayi means full of. We're surcharged with beginner's enthusiasm. But then it wanes due to offenses, due to lack of association, due to lack of proper practice or application. Full of initial enthusiasm. Synonyms for Utsahamayi: beginner's enthusiasm, early zeal, or temporary vigor, early zeal or excitement which slowly declines. Vishnu Chakravarti gives a very appropriate analogy to describe this quality of Utsahamayi. When a child first goes to school, he learns ABC. Then the teacher says, please write the word cat. So then he writes C-A-T, cat. And he thinks, oh, I'm a very good student. Similarly, a devotee begins Krishna consciousness. His devotional activities are infused with enthusiasm. It's new, it's different, it's exciting. He's interested. He has a high interest level. He's energetic. There's a lot of positive energy. We're applying ourselves to sadhana bhakti. We learn how to play mridanga and kartals, how to cook prasad, how to memorize a few shlokas, preach, give a class. Our enthusiasm is based on the idea, I'm so qualified. But really, we're not so qualified. It's more like we're showing off. This may last 2 or 3 years, and then it wanes, and because it's not based on real surrender and submission. So this is the student. Actually, there's more to the student analogy, but I didn't put it in my notes, but we recall it. That what happens is that the student, he learns CAT, and then. Actually, the analogy goes on through the other things. Because actually, if you look at these symptoms of unsteadiness in bhakti or anishtita bhakti, which we face at Bhajana Kriya, you'll see that each one is related to the next one. So this is the first one. These are external, you can say, obstacles. Something we're external, because the internal ones are 5. These are 6. The second one is the UGVENT. The G is Ganatarala. Like we say Ganasham. Ganasham means like a cloud. Gana means thick, like Ganaras means very thick. And then Tarala means thin, so thick and thin. Gana and Tarala. Thick and thin. Sometimes we're enthusiastic and sometimes we're lazy or lethargic. Sometimes we're progressive and sometimes we slip backwards. Again, Vishnu gives a student analogy. One day the teacher asked the student to write a big word. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Or Mississippi, or M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, or whatever. It's one of the states in America. She asked him to write some big word. And then, so the student makes a mistake, and he gets chastised. So then what does the kid do? He takes his pen, he throws his pen on the floor and says, "I don't want to learn anymore. It's too difficult. I don't want to learn anymore." So sometimes the devotee is very enthusiastically absorbed in hearing and chanting. But then sometimes he feels hopeless and discouraged. He will read somewhere in Shastra the glories of the holy name. All Nija Sarva Shakti, all the powers of Krishna are in the holy name. If we chant just one time the pure name, then we'll actually see Krishna. So after he reads this, he becomes very enthusiastic to chant japa and pray for Krishna's darshan. So he's chanting and chanting for one day and one week and one month and maybe a few months. But after some time, he feels nothing is happening. Krishna is not giving his darshan. So then he reads somewhere else how difficult it is to chant Shudanam, and that some sages did austerities for 1,000 years just to get glimpse of Krishna for 1 second. And then when he reads this, he becomes very discouraged and hopeless, and he feels that everything is useless. And he thinks, "Oh, I should just drink Coca-Cola and watch television. I should just drink Coca-Cola and watch television. It's too difficult. It's impossible." This is called Ganatarala, thick and thin, Anishtita Bhakti, up and down. The initial enthusiasm described in number one, Utsaha Mayi, does not last. Because the devotee still has anattas. Therefore, sometimes the devotee intensely practices different limbs of devotion, like chanting, reading, serving devotees, and he attains some bliss or happiness while doing that. And other times he becomes slack in devotion when obstacles appear. This stage is called Ganatarala. So it's a real thing. So first we're enthusiastic, and then comes Ganatarala, becomes thick and thin. And then comes this Ugvent, so there's double V's here, Ugvent. 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 It's like this. I made like a key for these things. So now the first, this V is Vyudha Vikalpa. Vyudha Vikalpa. For me to remember, if I want to remember these things in preaching or something, I always remember Vyudha Vikalpa. This is V for Vyudha and V for Vikalpa. So I remember vacillate. V for vacillate. Vacillate means like a pendulum going back and forth. Literally, Vyudha Vikalpa means indecision. Doubts will come and attack one's resolve or one's determination. Questions and doubts will come and attack one's determination. Synonyms for this stage of Vyudha Vikalpa is hovering, the hovering platform, flip-flopping, the pendulum stage, pendulum means like a pendulum, or vacillating mind. So this stage of unsteady bhajan, the mind is swinging like a pendulum, vacillating here and there. At this stage, the devotee can't decide what to do or where to be. The sadhaka speculates a lot about how to do bhajan. Various decisions arise in his mind at the time of hearing and chanting, which is not exactly what we're supposed to be doing when we're hearing and chanting. So it's meditating on pastimes or service in our sarup or whatever, something, at least the meaning of the holy name, but not these things. But this is what happens. Various decisions arise in his mind at the time of hearing and chanting, but he can't decide what to do and what not to do. Shall I hear Hari Katha? Listen to some lecture tape? Or should I chant japa? Or should I perform all nine limbs of devotion? Or should I practically serve and go to the temple and just render some service to the Vaishnavas? Then Vishnu Chakravarti, he gives some examples. And these are some of the examples of how this stage of Yuddha Vikalpa. Sometimes the devotee thinks, I should be a good brahmachari. Because if I stay as a brahmachari, if I become a brahmachari, remain as a brahmachari, my life will have no anxieties, no responsibilities, and I can give all my energy to serving the guru and serving the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya. And after all, Prabhupada once said that 50% of going back to Godhead is simply to stay brahmachari. If you just stay celibate and stay brahmachari, then you're 50% back to Godhead. I've attained perfection. And then when the disciples ask Prabhupada, well, what's the other 50%? And Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad. I said, oh, that's very good. Not very difficult. Sounds very good. Very easy. But then, 10 years later, where are all the brahmacharis? So then later, the same person, he thinks, but if I practice artificial renunciation, my heart will become hard. I've heard that this is very bad for bhakti. If you do too much tapasya, nirjal ekadasi, if you do too much austerities, your heart will become hard, and then you won't be able to develop devotional sentiments, or Vaishnavas, or Krishna. So this brahmachari life is so austere, and maybe it makes my heart very hard. So this would be, I shouldn't be a hypocrite. I should be honest with myself and find my own level. Actually, not everyone has the samskaras to be renounced. A lot of these things that I'm repeating is what I've heard people, brahmacharis, tell me for 4 years as a temple president and 30 years in preaching to some extent here and there. You can come up here. It's like, it's really not so bad up here. All right. Better late than never. That's what they say. So many of these statements I've heard and tried to respond to them. These are like kind of some stock answers that one will hear. So for a devotee who is on the level of anishtita bhakti, he's not steady, then he goes through this pendulum, this hovering platform of the mind is indecision, doubts and questions arise. Should I do this or should I do that? I really like this one. I shouldn't be a hypocrite. I should be honest with myself and find my own level. Actually, not everyone has the samskaras to be renounced. Maybe I should be married. After all, many great Vaishnavas were married. Srivas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, the Panch Pandavas. Then again, he thinks, well, I was reading in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, that women, like a blind well leading to death. and after all, and why did Lord Chaitanya leave his home at the age of 24? And Bharat Maharaj, he was a king. He had fabulous wealth and millions of dollars and so many palaces, and he walked out of everything just like passing stool at the age of 24. I mean, maybe I shouldn't get married. And look at Raghunath Das Goswami, he was married. And his wife was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. He had more wealth and opulence than King Indra. And he ran away to join Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So, forget this marriage. No, household life is like a blind well. I should renounce it. No, I won't get married. And then later he thinks, in view of Avikalpa, but actually, I'm still young. I'm only 33 years old. I mean 34, or I'm 38. I'm young. I'm 39. I'm young. I'm 42. I'm young. I'm 45. I mean, life begins at 40. I mean 50. I mean 60. I mean 100. I'm still young, so better I first fully enjoy my senses, and then at the end of my life I can renounce. Otherwise, I may renounce only externally, but will keep thinking of sense enjoyment, and that will certainly obstruct my bhajan. And then again, he thinks, Bhishma Chakravarti is giving all this. If I spend my whole life attached to sense, to material pleasure and married life, then the desire to renounce may never arise. Because I'll be so implicated and so complicated and so, I won't be able to get extricated. Besides that, death can come at any time. Better I renounce everything right now. Arivo. So this is Vyuta Vikalpa. Should I? Or should I not? Will I or will I not? To be or not to be? Then comes Vishaya Sangara. Sangara. This is Ugvent, my key, Ugvent. So this is the second V. Ugvava Enti. Ugvent. Vishaya Sangara. Sangara means battling, fighting. And Vishaya means, everyone knows pretty much Vishaya. Vishaya means senses. So this is battling with the senses. Me versus my senses. The Christians have the same concept, but they don't have this term Vishaya Sangara, but they have the same concept in the Bible. The soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flesh means the body. The senses, the vishaya. Oh, I really want to be a good Christian. I'm really trying to, but I have to drink a little whiskey now and then, and I have to run here and there with the prostitutes, and I have to gamble a little bit, and I have to break a few commandments here and there, but I really wish I really have the desire. So this is battling with the senses. The synonyms for vishaya sangara: struggling with the senses, battling with sense gratification, fighting against the temptations of worldly enjoyment. These are all symptoms of Vishaya Sangara at the level of Anishchita Bhakti that one faces in Bhajan Kriya. Although I am practicing Bhajan, trying to serve Krishna, due to my bad habits, my mind still runs after sense objects, which are forcibly attracting me and distracting me from my bhajan. By taking shelter of the holy name, I will give them up. And there's a Srimad Bhagavatam verse which describes such a devotee. And it's in Bhajan Rahasyam. And he, which is, I think we read that actually before, because I don't have it. I don't have the page reference right here. And I think that's a commentary by Vishnath. He says, even though, remember we've discussed that in Anartanivrti, I may be facing so many obstacles or difficulties, but I'll never stop chanting no matter what happens. So that's from 11th canto, chapter 20, verse 27 through 28. I neglected to write the reference at this point. Here's a practical example of battling with sense gratification, Vishaya Sangara. A devotee thinks, I have a problem. I keep watching television, or maybe let's say DVD movies, make it more modern. I keep watching TV, and I know this is bad for bhakti. So, I won't do this anymore. Then, while the devotee is chanting japa, he's thinking, I'm not going to watch TV. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I'm not going to do it. No more. I'm not going to watch any more DVD movies. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to watch TV. Meanwhile, while he keeps chanting and telling, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, he forgets Krishna. Because he's trying to keep his mind away from the thing that he is so much attached to. But yet, he ends up thinking about it all the time and not remembering Krishna. Now, after he finishes his japa, he goes on Sankirtan to distribute books. And he's walking down the street. And then he goes by a shop that happens, it's an electronic shop. And inside that electronic shop, they're selling televisions. And they have 25 televisions for sale. And they're all turned on. Big ones, small ones. So he's walking by the shop selling televisions. And suddenly he stops and he looks. And then he walks in and he watches television for 2 hours. In other words, because this is called battling with the senses. We try to follow strictly and we get defeated. It's a battle. Like Prabhupada says, it's a war against Maya. So renouncing sense gratification is actually impossible without good association. When we artificially renounce sense gratification, what happens is we get uptight and we get angry with everyone. Why? Because all the time we're fighting with sense objects. You see people, devotees that are struggling in a particular, even as grihasthas or even as brahmacharis, they're trying to follow the four regular principles. But because they're battling, because they're not steady, they haven't come to steadiness, they're battling with sense gratification. They're on edge all the time. And you meet them, poof! You know, they'll like crack out like a firecracker or something. Because, you know, they're not cool. They aren't cool. Their brains are not cool. So anger, because frustrated desire creates anger. And anger expresses itself in harsh speech and erratic behavior. And improper behavior towards the Vaishnavas. So this is very clear when someone is battling with the senses, Vishaya Sangra. They become very much victims of anger and outbursts. Because they're artificial. They're trying to renounce them, and it's not, you know, it's difficult. And they haven't crossed over that Anartha Nivritti. Forgetting Krishna, in other words, they're so much busy because all the time fighting with sense objects, they forget Krishna and devotional service and the goal of our practice. One becomes very aggressive and angry because he's constantly engaged in a war. If they see someone else enjoying the sense objects and they're trying to renounce them, like household life, they get very angry with those grihasthas and say, it's very common. When we were temple president, we would see that, we would observe in some of the brahmacharis, we would go to some house programs, or we would see them, and what would happen is they go in some house, some Indian house, and there are people of some grihasthas, and they see, oh, they have a nice house, nice wife, children, everything's nice. And they're thinking in their mind, they're having this battle in their mind also. Oh, I'm trying to be brahmachari, but I should get married. And oh, they're having a good time, they have a nice house. And then if they preach or they speak to them, this anger, because they want that, and they're repressing themselves. So then this repression will come out in the form of anger. Oh, you're a bogus grihastha. Why are you living like this, so opulent? And this is a very common thing you'll see in brahmacharis especially, that this anger will come out because actually they want that thing. And they're battling with that. They're repressing, oh, I shouldn't, you know, I should stay brahmachari. But actually they want a big television and they want a big comfortable house. And so they see someone with that because of envy and because of their battling with the sense objects, then it comes out. So one becomes very aggressive and angry. You can't tolerate. He doesn't know how to preach appropriately according to time and circumstance. That's why preaching is usually preaching is done by sannyasis or devotees that have actually come to that stage of renunciation, and attachment for Krishna, renunciation. Otherwise, they get. Here's the example. One becomes very aggressive and angry because he himself is constantly engaged in a war. If he sees someone else enjoying the sense objects that they are trying to renounce, like household life, they get very angry with those grihasthas and say, "Oh, you're bogus. You're in Maya with your wife. Why aren't you coming to Mangalarti? I know you're just in Maya." A bad mood comes in his mind and heart, and he becomes offensive to others because he's always fighting with sense objects. At this stage of Bhajana Kriya, the conflicting doubts and arguments, another word of the previous, at this stage of Bhajana Kriya, this stage of Vishaya Sangara, the conflicting doubts and arguments of level of the third level, which was Bhuta Vikalpa, are now resolved in the devotee's heart. So in other words, in this third level, we were discussing Bhuta Vikalpa, the person hasn't, they don't know whether to be brahmachari, they don't know whether to be brahmachari, grihastha, back and forth, but then when they get to that, they say, okay, I'll stay brahmachari for my whole life, I'll stay brahmachari, this is it. And they have that resolve, that determination. So now, if they get to that level, which is may not get to, then the next stage they'll face is the fourth level, Vishaya Sangara. So now, they'll have to battle with the senses, sense objects. So now, okay, I'm fixed. There's no way. I've read too much. I've heard too much. I've done too much austerity. I've got too much sadhu sangha. I'm fixed. So there's nishta. There's nishta in Bhuta Vikalpa. He's not like, should I not? He's like picking off petals of a daisy or something. Pick a daisy from the garden. Should I not? Yes, no. When you're a child. But now now he's fixed in brahmachari or whatever. Or grihastha, maybe thinking, oh, I'll run away from my wife, I'll leave my children. No, I should better stay. So now he's fixed. Now the next thing he has to become steady and win this war of battling the senses. That is why this description is there. At this stage, at this fourth stage of Vishaya Sangara, of Bhajana Kriya, the conflicting doubts and arguments, in other words, the indecision of the third level, which is Bhuta Vikalpa, are now resolved in the devotee's heart, and he is convinced about renouncing. However, desires for sense gratification often force a devotee to fulfill them, and resulting in weakness in chanting and performing devotion. So, Vishnath is explaining that we want to come to the level of nishchita bhakti, and we want to become steady in our chanting. But while we're chanting, while we're trying to approach the level of nishta, then we'll have to win this war of Vishaya Sangara, battling the senses. So sometimes we'll win a battle, sometimes we'll lose. Although the devotee sometimes falls prey to sense enjoyment, he condemns himself for it and feels regret, and he repents while continuing with his devotional practices. Thus, a devotee wages a war against his desires for sense gratification. Sometimes he wins, and sometimes he loses. This stage of Bhajana Kriya is called Vishaya Sangara. Then? It's okay? Any questions? In the fifth stage, Ugvent, this is the end part, is Niyamakshama. Niyamakshama. Inability to keep vows. This is from Madhurya Kadambini, some summary and some other extra points. Due to an increase of faith, a devotee feels a need to regulate his devotional practices. Therefore, he decides, from today on, I will chant so many rounds, 32 rounds. I will offer 100 dandabats to Vaishnavas. I will read the Srimad Bhagavatam an hour a day. I will not talk any gossip, and I won't criticize any devotees. So this is a vow. This is called niyam. Niyam means vow. Though the devotee makes such vows every day, he can't always fulfill them. 1,000 vows taken and 1,000 vows broken. We take a vow, we break a vow, we take a vow, we break a vow. So someone might ask, what's the difference between niyamakshama and vishaya sangara? Because niyamakshama is inability to keep vows, and this vishaya sangara is battling with sense gratification. So this vishaya sangara means the inability to give up sense enjoyment. Aniyamakshama means the inability to carry out vows made for advancing in bhakti. This is the difference. In other words, at the level of vishaya sangara, we are battling with the senses and maybe even breaking the principles that we promised to follow. At the level, now we progress, now we get steady, and we become very nishtha and steady in following the four wheeled principles, and still we're battling with the senses, but we're not succumbing to them. We're not breaking the principles, and now we're becoming steady. So now we're crossing over in this level of bhajan, we're somewhat winning the war of Vishaya Sangara. Now that we're becoming steady and our faith is increasing in Krishna and name, because we invested when we're battling the senses, then we took shelter of the holy name. We said, oh now Prabhu, I'm being attacked from all sides. Oh, please help me. So we took shelter of the holy name, and the holy name delivered the goods. The holy name delivered us. The holy name saved us from Maya, from breaking the principles or winning or losing the war. We took intense shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, please Krishna, Krishna, please. I beg you to help me. And then the holy name helps us. Then that increases our faith in Nam Bhajan and Krishna. Faith in Nam Bhajan means faith in Krishna. That's why we say here. Due to increase of faith, the devotee feels a need to regulate his devotional service. I mean, tighten it up to increase it. More chanting. So that's why. So now, he is starting to win the war. He's starting to make improvement. He's starting to win the war of sense gratification. Becoming steady. No more breaking the principles or even small battles he's winning. And controlling himself. So now he's, this is not enough. I'm steady. Now I'm steady in this, but I must go more and more. I have to do more chanting. So then he makes a vow. So these are vows. Niyamakshama means inability to keep vows for increasing our bhakti. Like Vratas. Okay, it's Niyam, it's called Niyam Seva month. Kartik month is called Niyam Seva. That we serve the Lord according to extra vows and extra activities. I'm going to chant so many astakams and prikkam every day of Govardhan and this and that. So we start off for 7 days, we do prikkam every day of Govardhan, then our feet crack in half and I get 50 cracks in our feet and we're walking like on pins and needles and we're crying. Oh dear Raj, well it looks like I'm going to do 3 weeks manasi prikkama because the soul is willing but the flesh is weak. I can't make it. Oh please forgive me. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So sometimes a little bit of the discussion on this point, niyamakshama. Sometimes devotee thinks, why am I so lazy? I'm so flaky and lax in my devotional practices. Does this sound familiar? It sounds familiar to me. I know it's like this is an autobiography I'm reading here. Sometimes a devotee, I mean, devotees, I'm making it like in third person. Some devotee thinks, why am I so lazy, so flaky? This is good American slang. Why am I so flaky, so lax in my devotional practices? I'm going to be strict. I'm going to chant 64 rounds a day. I'm going to rise every day at 2:30 and do so many astakams and prayers and read and do so many different sevas. So the next day, 2:30, even 2:29, you wake up. You say, oh, look at this. It's 2:29. You know, hey, look, alarm clock, I beat you to it. You turn off the alarm clock. All right. Hare Krishna. You start chanting. And then 64 rounds. All goes well. Then the second day, oh, I have a splitting headache. Oh, it's killing me. You feel so bad. You only chant 5 rounds. What happened? We went for 64 to 5. So we always make and break vows. We can't be fixed in any vow. 1,000 schedules made and 1,000 schedules broken. So it keeps going like this. And then sometime in our life, we'll make a schedule that we'll actually keep. Every day I'll rise at this time, and I'll chant so many rounds. And that will go on for years, and then increase more and more. And that's called Madhyam Adhikari, Nishta. So now the sixth obstacle here in Vajrana Kriya that we'll face. Now this is, and these are sequential. One comes after the other. They're all related. The first one is at the lowest level. And as we progress and become closer and closer to steadiness, and we're becoming more and more steady, our faith is increasing, our chanting of Nam is improving, our realization of the Nam and Krishna is increasing. So now we come to a very big one. Very, very big. And it's also big because it's compared to an ocean. Vishnath is using words here which are related to an ocean. Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. So when we think of ocean, Atlantic Ocean especially, it's very vast. It's very deep. It's very foreboding and fearful. If you're in the middle of the ocean, what can you do? How long can you hold yourself up going like this? A few minutes and you can drown. So he uses, it's called Taranga Rangani. Taranga Rangani, Ugvent, my key, Ugvent, UGVVNT. So the last T is for Taranga. Taranga means waves. Oceans are full of waves. Big waves. Rangani means Ranga. Ranga means to play, to delight, to enjoy. To enjoy the waves. Ride the waves, right? We like to go to the beach and ride the waves with our surfboards or our belly boards or our bellies, just our belly without the board. Ride the waves. It's great fun. It's also Maya. Unless you're remembering Lord Chaitanya, because sometimes they say the Vaishnav sports are wrestling and water sports. So you can think of that, especially when we go in Puri, and because Lord Chaitanya declared at the Samadhi ceremony, the Tirubhav ceremony of Haridas, and he was bathing Haridas with the Samudrapani, the ocean water. He was saying, from this day forward, this ocean will become a great place of pilgrimage. So whenever we bathe in Puri, we always think, oh yes, this is a purifying snan here in the Indian Ocean. This Indian Ocean has become Charanamrita, Vaishnav Charanamrita. It's a holy tirtha certified by Mahaprabhu. Of course, he himself, it's his Charanamrita because he bathed there himself every day at noon. So that's something to remember. We should be remembering when we're riding the waves in Puri. Natai Gaur, Natai. So this is Taranga Rangani, means enjoying the waves, enjoying the facilities that are given by bhakti. A synonym for this is delighting in the waves of devotion, riding the pleasure waves of bhakti. This is a very critical stage in a devotee's spiritual life. Very critical. And one can be riding these waves for lifetimes. Very critical. Why? By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely and by good association, one may conquer all the other 5 problems that we've discussed. Utsaha Mayi, Ganatarala, Vyudavikapa, Vishaya Sangra, right? And Niyamakshama, these 5. But now another problem arises, because now you are becoming very steady in spiritual life. And you are approaching the level of nishtita, bhakti. By practicing bhakti, by serving Krishna, one develops pure spiritual qualities. And even though this bhakti is mixed and impure, still, it's mixed. I mean, there's gyan mishra, karma mishra, and so many different mixtures. Even though this bhakti that we're performing at the level of Bhajana Kriya, it's approaching Nishta, is mixed and impure, still many people will become attracted and award that devotee, or award you, or award that devotee with material things, with wealth, fame, respect, adoration, and position. This stage of Taranga Rangini means that the devotee takes pleasure in and enjoys these material achievements. Once we heard, years ago, one of the 11 gurus, one of the original magnificent 11 or whatever, there were the 11 gurus of ISKCON, and we were having lunch with him, and he said, and this was maybe, I don't know, 83 or so, 1983, and he turned, and during lunch he said, do you know what the greatest, you know what the greatest rush is? Rush means the greatest excitement. Greatest excitement, the greatest thrill is when, you know, when I walk in a temple and I see hundreds of people bow down to me. Hare Krishna. So in other words, he was delighting in the wave of Pratishtha Taranga, the adoration, the worship, the God complex. I am God. See everyone falling at my feet. He said giving a lecture, leading a kirtan, going in Harinam Sankirtan, this and that, other limbs of devotion or whatever. There's nothing that gives me a greater thrill than when I enter the temple room, some big temple, and 500 people or 600 disciples all fall at my feet. Jai Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. I relish it. I was like, anyway, everyone's Bhagavan. You're Bhagavan. I'm also Bhagavan. We don't know who it is. We can't say, but we all have that little bit of that in us. We all have the Bhagavan complex within us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the material world. There's five. How many Bhagavans are there here? There's 6 billion Bhagavans in the human species. There's so many Bhagavans in the beast. Bhagavan beasts and Bhagavan paki, Bhagavan birds and Bhagavan humans. There's millions of them. Anyway, I don't know who that was. Can't say. But this is called Taranga Rangini. So you ride such a wave. It may be a towering wave. It may be so high, such a big wave on that ocean of bhakti that it takes on the shape of a tidal wave. And when you ride that tidal wave and you're up so high that what goes up must come down. So that tidal wave will throw you on the beach and crack your back and break your devotional spine. And that is exactly what happened in many cases. So one must be very careful. This stage, Taranga Rangini, means that the devotee takes pleasure in and enjoys these material achievements. This is a great obstacle to spiritual progress. By enjoying these waves, which are byproducts arising from the ocean of bhakti, a devotee's bhakti lata, creeper of devotion, will become choked. Profit, respect, and fame are like weeds growing around the bhakti creeper, which sprout forth automatically by sprinkling the water of hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam. As a diligent gardener or a watchful gardener, a sincere devotee must immediately cut down and uproot these weeds in order to protect his delicate creeper of devotion. This analogy about the weeds and the creeper and the watering, it's all described. I actually wanted to read that, but I was in Vrindavan today. I came back at 2:30, so I didn't have time to look up, bring my proper reference books. But if anyone wants to take a note, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verse 158 through 161 describes this. So this concludes the description of the six different external obstacles which cause slackness in spiritual practice, which is called anishtita bhajana kriya. These six stages are described as external obstacles related to the performance of bhajan. Before attaining the level of nishta, however, one must also overcome five internal obstacles which appear toward the end of anatta nivritti. If these internal obstacles are present, one cannot attain steadiness in devotion, nishta, even after daily efforts. So there's more goodies. There's a lot of Karela today, not much sweet rice. A lot of shukta and Karela. Where's the sabji and puri and kachori and gulab jamun and sweet rice? So these are the five internal obstacles. And I don't have the only thing, but I listed the letters together, and for me it works, but maybe it doesn't work for anyone else. But there are five things, and it's LVAKR. These are the first letter of each concept or each obstacle. LVAKR. So for me to remember that, I think Lavakar. Because LV is like love, and Lavakar, KR. So I think, what are those five internal obstacles? When I'm giving a lecture or somebody, I'm preaching to somebody, I say, there's five. Then you can either try to think of them individually, or Lavakar, LV, and then my mind starts going, catching them. You know. It's called key. It's one of the symptoms of memorization. You, by association, by keys, there's different ways the memory works, which psychologists have studied, and students take advantage of these to memorize so many things in school. The first Lavakar, L is for Laya, L-A-Y-A. Another way I remember this is that, because this indicates a type of, this is due to the influence of the mode of ignorance, and Laya means to lay down, and lay down means to be sleepy. So Laya actually means to sleepiness, or to lay down. Due to the influence of tamagun, one feels increasing tendency to fall asleep during hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of Krishna. In other words, one feels sleepy when chanting japa. The main cause for this anartha, this actually comes under the category of anartha, is lack of taste for Krishna's nam, rup, guna, and lila. So, when you're sleepy, you lie down. So laya means laya. L-A, lay down, or L-A-Y-A, laya. So laya, it's an increasing tendency. When you chant japa, when you're hearing, how does it work? The most tendency to sleep is when we're remembering. In other words, if you're chanting, say you're chanting Gayatri, and you have your eyes closed, and you're just chanting in your mind, that's the greatest tendency to sleep will be there at that point. And then hearing, the least tendency is chanting, there's more tendency in hearing, and then the greatest tendency in remembering. So when you're chanting japa, you feel a little sleepy. But when you sit for Bhagavatam, you really feel sleepy. Or you sit for a Bhajan Rasyam class after having prasadam at 2 o'clock or something. You feel really sleepy. So when hearing, one feels more tendency to sleep. And when remembering, feels even more tendency. For example, you sit down, you read some pastime, and then close your eyes and try to meditate and recall that pastime in your mind. The person, what Radha's doing, Krishna's doing, Manjari's, Gopis, what they're doing. And you'll see all of a sudden you'll find yourself lying on the floor. Because you'll become overcome by tamagun because of anarthas. So this is an internal obstacle. This is affecting the mind. The mind is being affected by the presence of tamagun, which is us. Mm-hmm. It's with us until we rise above those modes by the purity of bhakti. That's why many people, like Prabhupada said once, he said, when you're chanting, if you get tired, then do like I do. Walk up and down, like I walk up and down in my room. Prabhupada told Shruti Kirti this. It's in his memoirs. which we quoted in our Art of Chanting book. He said, if you get tired when chanting japa, it's best to sit in front of Tulsi or in front of Thakur in one asana, in one place, for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and just chant, absorbed. But if you get tired, this internal obstacle of laya comes, and you walk up and down like I do. And so many devotees do like that. So it's better to walk and chant than to sit and sleep. But it's not the best. But we have to do what we can do. So this is called laya. And the second one is vikshepa. Vikshepa. Vikshepa means distraction or diversion. So for me, I also think of vikshepa means to veer off. To veer off means to be diverted. Diverted. V for vikshepa, D for veer, divert. So these are called different associations, so you can remember. Otherwise, all these terms get a little confusing. So laya, lavakar. So laya, then va is veering off or distraction. It's called vikshepa. Distraction or diversion. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that distraction is the cause of all other offenses. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the holy name, and it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. We say this is like the 11th offense we recite every morning. The 10th offense is to maintain it, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Right? Number 10. And it's also an offense to be inattentive. So inattentive means distraction, means vikshepa. So we can't help but be inattentive when we're at the level of anishtita bhakti. We can't help it, but we have to fight it as much as possible. So this is vikshepa, distraction. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the root cause of all 10 offenses. The root cause, the mul karana, or the root cause of all the 10 offenses is distraction, which is this vikshepa. So this is the internal obstacle. This is caused by the influence of rajagun, which causes one to think of or talk about material things while engaged in hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. This distracts and deviates the mind from Krishna. Example, gossiping during japa, or gossiping before or after Srimad Bhagavatam class. Or, on a higher level, this is a very higher level of vikshepa, which can come even on higher level stages of bhakti, before bhava. This can happen even to level of nishta, or abruchi, this type of vikshepa. For example, someone is absorbed in chanting japa, and he's trying to meditate. I'm in Vrindavan. I'm walking on the bank of Yamuna. And suddenly, I see Govinda is sitting beneath a kadamba tree, which is full of fragrant flowers. And Govinda's face is full of sweetness and eagerness. His eyes are glancing furtively here and there, looking towards the footpath. And I can understand that he's thinking, where is Radhika? I'm so eager to see her. This is Krishna's thinking. One is meditating like this. I see this message in Shyam's beautiful eyes. Then suddenly, there's a break. My mind gets distracted and I lose the meditation. Oh, wonder what they're having today for breakfast. It's called vikshepa. Of course, to have such a meditation will come at the level of ruchi or asakti, generally. To have such taste for such meditation, one's chanting japa. Then the mind goes distraction, veers off the path of absorption or distracted. It's called vikshepa. So this is the third one is apratipatti. And this is lavakar. This is LV, love, akar. So this is apratipatti. And this apratipatti, it begins with A, and so does the word apathetic. There's the word apathetic. Because apratipatti basically means apathy. Means negligence in the practice of bhakti, or disinterest, or become apathetic, or apathy. Even in the absence of laya and vikshepa, one sometimes feels disinterested, disinclined or even incapable of doing Krishna bhajan. It's very interesting. He doesn't fall asleep when he hears or chants or remembers. Or when he's hearing class, he's wide awake. And he doesn't feel much distraction. He's chanting, he hears the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So it sounds pretty good. There's no vikshepa. There's no distraction. No diversion. And he's not sleepy. He's energetic. He had a good night's rest. He's healthy. His digestion is good. But then he faces his third internal obstacle. One may know many things. Like, I should chant very carefully and remember Krishna's pastimes. But somehow, the mode of ignorance takes over. One loses interest and becomes lazy and negligent in his devotional activities. A neutral, blasé, melancholy mood overtakes him. For example, there's a Srimad Bhagavatam class going on in the temple, or there's a very exciting or wonderful kirtan going on in the temple, or even in one's own home. But we think, oh, I won't go. I don't feel like it. I won't go to class. I don't feel like it. I won't go. This seems very innocent, but actually it's very dangerous. Because this activity can develop, or this attitude and activity of avoiding, can develop into an offense. We should always be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is, which we mentioned before, is a life force. Enthusiasm is a life force of advancement. We should always enthusiastically chant our japa, do kirtan, attend class, and take prasadam. For example, one person I know, they invited some devotees to their house. So the devotees came to their house, and their mother invited the devotees to the house, and the daughter was initiated. The mother and father initiated, and daughter was initiated. The devotees came to the house, and they had kirtan. Then they spoke on Bhagavatam, and the daughter was initiated. She stayed in the TV room watching TV, and she didn't attend the Bhagavatam class nor the kirtan. And it's very rare when devotees come into someone's house and give harikata and kirtan. It's very rare. But this is called negligent apathy. I've heard so many Bhagavatam. I've heard so many Bhagavatam classes and kirtan. What's the big thing? So this, it seems innocent, but this is very dangerous because this can become Vaishnava Parad and become Shastraninda, Sadhaninda. It gets really complicated also. Guru Avagya. So this is, often, especially in so-called quote-unquote senior devotees, this happens. So, this Bhagavata, I've heard this class, this is why I do this, that. Apati-pati. Apathy, negligence, disinterest. The fourth one is kashaya. Kashaya means, you can say contamination, or it means bad things, kashaya. What is it? Does it, in Hindi, is that word there, kashaya? What does it mean? In Hindi, is it dirt or something? Low class. Yeah, it's like low, bad things, low class, inferior thoughts. It's like this, bad thing. That's the literal meaning of the word. So that. Yeah, it's kind of worthless, bad, low life, low thoughts. So this is the innate tendency to become angry, arrogant, greedy, and envious towards others. The presence of this anartha in the heart, which arises due to contact with rajagun, makes one angry for no reason. So a devotee is practicing bhakti, but because he has some parabdha for this anger in the heart, it just flares out for no reason. Well, it flares out for a reason, but it appears to be for no reason. The reason is that he's increased rajagun. He's eaten very rajasic foodstuffs, lots of sweets or lots of halava or he hasn't controlled, he's overeaten, or he's maybe he hasn't slept enough, or whatever. This anatta is there, and then it flares out and it exhibits so much anger. Oh, there's that. And then someone said, what did I do? I didn't do anything, and you're just like blowing up. So this is kashaya, because the innate tendency is there. The heart has this contamination, anger or greed. So this is kashaya, the innate tendency to become angry, arrogant, greedy, or envious toward others, which arises from rajagun. It makes one angry for no reason, or greedy for money, or eating lots of sweets, because we have greed. There's greed in us, and then if prasadam comes in front of us, we eat like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 50. You know, so many sweets. Without control. This is rajagun, the pushing of rajagun. This is called kashaya, because we have that innate tendency, because there's so much greed and lust within us to enjoy. So if the opportunity comes in, it just comes out. While doing bhaj, for example, also we become proud of the body. We can also, this kashaya is expressed in pride of our body. While doing bhaj on some or other, we can't check it. We become angry at some nice devotee that just happens along. For example, if we have the innate tendency to be envious, and that's an anatta, it's a contamination, and we're doing bhajana kriya, we're trying to become pure and free from that envy. We're sitting chanting japa, and a very nice devotee comes from another temple. He's offenseless, he's advanced devotee, he's simple, straightforward, clean. And we're sitting, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we see that devotee, that devotee, you know, oh. this envy comes out, we just start thinking, for no reason, we haven't met him, we haven't talked to him, he hasn't done anything. All he did is walk into the temple. He came from Bombay, he came to Vrindavan for a few days, and we're living in the Vrindavan temple, we're sitting chanting, and then he just walks in the temple. We say, that devotee. this comes right up out of us. We go, whoa, what is that? What is that ugly serpent? It's just raised its ugly head in my heart. Oh, down, boy. He's a good devotee. He's actually a nice devotee. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's kashaya. The fifth one, and this is the last, there's six external obstacles that one faces in the path of bhajana kriya, and there's five internal obstacles, because these have to do with the mind and attitude and thinking, and so they're called internal. It's called rasaswad. Rasaswad. There's different ways to look at this word. Different acharyas take it. That rasaswad. Swad means taste. And ras means, let's say, mellow. So when he says rasaswad, it means no taste for ras. So what it means is no taste for bhakti ras. Ras aswad. And why does one have no taste for bhakti ras? It's also described as non-absorption. We can't get absorbed in the limbs of bhakti, because actually we have a taste for maya. Due to past experiences and impressions, which technically is called samskaras, due to past experiences and impressions, we still have we have strong desires for sense gratification, strong desire to taste material sense objects. Due to the mode of passion, one thinks of sense pleasure while engaged in hearing, chanting, and remembering. So that's why it's called internal obstacle. It's to do with the mind. We may not be, as we said, we've already become steady, almost so much nishtha. We're not breaking the principles. We're very steady, but we're chanting, we're thinking, this would be nice, or that would be nice, or I did this, and that was good, I could do that. This is the pushing of rajagun, which is making the mind to move in that way. Due to mode of passion, one thinks of sense pleasure while engaged in hearing, chanting, and remember. Thus, one cannot concentrate or get absorbed in bhajan. Despite continuous efforts in bhakti, the feeling comes. Despite continuous efforts in bhakti, the feeling comes in the heart I want to taste these things. And I want to try this and I want to try that. This is rasa swad. No taste. It's non-absorption. Aswad. We don't have the taste for the bhakti. Because it's, you know, we're not at ruchi. Ruchi means a taste. So we have to come to nishta, then some ruchi will come, and then the essential yardstick for measuring the depth of nishta in bhakti, or steadiness in devotion, or lack of it, is whether one's hearing and chanting is becoming more and more intensified, or is it stagnating. An increase in the quality and quantity of hearing and chanting becoming absorbed in the hearing, chanting, and remembering the glories of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna indicates a rise in nishtita bhakti, and a decrease means an absence of steadiness or no nishta at all. In Bhajan Rahasyam there are several verses, or at least a couple of verses, in this Tritiya Yam Sadhana, which discuss the nishta. It's text 2 and text 3. We can read those. Is there any question that anyone's taking notes, got all these notes down? That's okay. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's addressing this nishta. And this is, when we hear about these 16 anarthas and these 11 obstacles in Bhajana Kriya, six external and 5 internal. So that's 11 and 16, that's 27 enemies, so to speak. We may feel somewhat, how will we make it? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a clue here by quoting from Hari Bhakti Vilas in text 2 of Bhajan Rahasyam. By surrender, we can attain nishta, sharanagati. Surrender is one symptom of the devotee at the level of nishta, and surrender basically is the only way to come to the level of nishta. So it's surrender, you have to surrender to become surrendered. So you have to surrender to the holy name, and then everything will, all these 27 difficulties will. This is the process of taking shelter. So he quotes this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which everyone knows quite well. The 6 types of surrender. Anukalyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati ti vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atmanakshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagati. The 6 types of surrender are to accept that which is favorable to Krishna bhakti, reject that which is unfavorable, to have strong faith that Bhagavan will protect me. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso. 4, to have dependence, thinking Bhagavan will take care of me. Goptritve varanam tata. To accept varanam, that my maintainer, that God will maintain me. 5, to be fully surrendered, atma samarpan. And 6, to be humble, that's karpanye. So this is, these are quite known to all the devotees. They're mentioned in Nectar Devotion and other places. 6 symptoms in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Here it's quoted from Hari Bhakti Vilas. 6 symptoms of surrender. So they have so many meanings. Purport is quite good. In Bengali, there's a verse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives here. Bhakti anukula jaha. Bhakti anukula yaha tahai swikara bhakti pratikula sabakari parihara. This means to accept whatever is favorable for devotion and reject everything which is inimical to devotion. Then Krishna vai raksha karta ara kehanai, Krishna se palanamore kari bhena bhai. There is no other protector than Krishna. O brother, Krishna will maintain me. Very nice Bengali. Krishna vai raksha karta ara kehanai. There is no other raksha karta. There's no one else that will do protection for me. There is no one else that will protect me but Krishna. Krishna se palanamore kari bhena bhai. Hey bhai, oh brother, Krishna is the palana, like Gopal. He will protect my senses. He will maintain me. He'll nourish me. He'll do everything. Ami amara jata kichu Krishna nivedan. Nishkapata dhainye kari jivana japan. I offer myself and everything I possess to Krishna. I go through life with sincere humility. Nishkapata dhainye kari jivana vyapan. There is a purport. The symptom of sharanagati in nishtita bhaktas, one-pointed devotees, is that they perpetually engage in the service of their Prabhu and accept whatever he arranges. Such devotees accept whatever punishment is given by Bhagavan as his mercy. They know that every action takes place only due to the desire of Krishna. Therefore, they unite their desire with Krishna's and thus remain peaceful. A devotee does not think that Krishna has sent him to this world to suffer miseries, but that he chose the miseries of the world by misusing his independence. The symptom of Sharanagati is that one gives up the false conception of being the doer and takes shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas. These intrinsic characteristic, you can say the main or called Surup Lakshana, the intrinsic characteristic of surrender is acceptance of Sri Krishna as one's maintainer. In other words, in these six symptoms of surrender, this is actually the most important one. Goptritve varanam tata. That to accept that Krishna will maintain me. Yoga shemam maham baham. This is in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintiyantamam yejana paripashate. Tesham nityabhyuktanam yoga shemam maham baham. This is the most important characteristic, the Surup Lakshana, the most important aspect. This, everything else will come from this. That Krishna will maintain me. Acceptance, the principal characteristic of Sharanagati or Surup Lakshana is acceptance of Sri Krishna as one's maintainer. The remaining five items, or rather symptoms, are the marginal characteristics, Tatastha Lakshana, of Sharanagati. We should have firm faith, Sri Krishna will always maintain me. That is the meaning of Goptritve Varanam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, which we mentioned, Tesham Nitya Bhyuktanam Yoga Kshema Mahamyam. For those who are Ananya Bhakt, always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and worship him by every means and with one-pointed devotion, Krishna says, I myself preserve what they have and carry what they lack. He also says, my devotees will never be destroyed. Right, what's that? Kontiya prati jani name bhakti pranashiti. In the second and third verses of Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami has explained two of the marginal characteristics of Sharanagati. So these are the Tatastha Lakshana, or marginal characteristics. To accept what is favorable for bhakti, anukul yasya sankalpa, and to give up what is unfavorable, pratikul yasya varjanam. These two verses were explained in detail in the second chapter of this book. So, I think we have 5 minutes more, is that correct? Because the next verse is also included. No. It's already, actually, it's not here. Next verse is verse 7. I think we'll stop there. It was 5 minutes. If there's any questions, and we'll, tomorrow we'll discuss the next verse, text 3. Yes?
The five internal obstacles mentioned all seem to be born of the lower motives, but it seems that we have to be very careful in order to stay away from them.
Yes, that Mother Srimati made the comment that the five internal obstacles, the to coming to nishtha, are born from the modes of nature, primarily rajagun and tamagun, ignorance and passion. So we have to be very careful to stay situated in the mode of goodness by regulated life, regulated eating, and regulated association. When we associate with the modes of passion or ignorance, they influence us. They come into us if we're not on the level of nishtha. We associate with ignorant food, we become ignorant. We associate with passionate food, we become passionate. They affect us. They influence us. And then they bring about all these obstacles. So, vachovegam, manasakrodavegam. We have to always strive for the mode of goodness in all our actions. And all our activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending must all be sattvic. Sattvic ahar, sattvic achar. Pure behavior, pure eating. Simple living, high thinking. This is the point. Everything all goes together, basically. And what's happened, it's all kind of one unit, and then Vishnu Chakravarti has unraveled it. He's unraveled it and say, well, look, here's all the little points in a very systematic way, because they go one by one. As I said, one can cross over Zutsa Mai, and okay, well, now I'm enthusiastic, but then this, oh, then I'm indecision, oh, then I'm indecision, then like this. So they go one by one, because each one, first we go, that's why first he lists the external obstacles, and then the internal ones, because they're the most difficult, the mind. And then the last one is this, was it, Taranga Rangani? That's a taranga, that's an ocean. That's like an ocean. So once we cross that ocean, then we come to the shore, the beach of nishtha. Then what we call smooth sailing, things go very quickly at that stage, at the stage of nishtha. And some life becomes a little kevala ananda kanda. This process is simply joyful. This is told by Lochan. I think it's Lochan Das Thakur's bhajan. Isn't it? Kevala ananda kanda. Paramakaruna pahunduijana nitaya gora chandra. So until nishtha, it's, as I said, the vast intermediate zone. We're treading water, we're drowning, we're gasping for breath, we're coming up, we're going down. But then after, at the level of nishtha, then things start going very nicely. Like the plane, when the plane is climbing, all of you have ridden in a plane, and if there's clouds, and the plane is rising through the clouds, and everyone's going, oh, fasten your seatbelt, everybody, and everyone's getting nervous and drinking a little whatever, and everyone's looking around at each other, and the devotee's going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The devotee's chanting japa, he has his own, you know, he's trying to absorb himself, and the plane, everybody relax, it's okay, we're a little turbulence here. So that's what we have to tell ourselves. Oh, okay, okay, Krishnadas, a little turbulence here. There's a little material desire, a little turbulence in your flight pattern here. Fasten your seatbelt, hold on, chant. Your seatbelt is a japa mala. The seatbelt is a japa mala, and hold on tightly to your seatbelt. Make sure it's fastened really tightly on the end of your fingers, right? That seatbelt in the plane, you put it down, and then you rise above the clouds and you get to 30,000 feet or whatever the cruising altitude is. Then everyone lets up. And then the lady, the stewardess, come, a big smile. Oh, you want some of this? And they start feeding everybody, and everybody starts eating. And then they show the movie, and everybody relaxes, and everything is great. You know? So this is like nishtha. This is like nishtha in your flight pattern. Feel peaceful. Feel some joy, prasanatma. So this is the gradual progress of bhakti. So tomorrow we'll discuss, by the mercy of the Lord, we hope to meet again. and discuss more teachings of Bhajan Rahasyam. Class, well, it is our wish to have class on I think till the 14th, because 15th is really busy day of feeding Brahmins and breaking Chaturmasya and shaving and all that, and all that has to happen after 2 o'clock. So I don't think I'll be able to be ready by 3:30. So there won't be any class on the 15th. Maybe you could mention to others that may be coming. So it's the 12th, the 13th, and 14th. Three classes we desire to have, if the Lord allows. The 15th is party. Chaturmasya, Katam Hogya. Radhi, Radhi. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Anyone observing these